to Spain. You put a woman back against the wall. Do it on my own, do it on my own. What you think she gonna do? Do it on my own. I know what I'ma do.
Do it on my own, do it on my own. Do it on my own, do it on my own.
Do it on my own. No, I don't need you.
Do it, but I don't want you.
But I want you.
Hey girlfriends, welcome to the first episode of Mommy and Wild Black. Wow. Hey, this is surreal. This is a surreal moment for me. Like, maybe if I say it again, welcome to the first episode ever. Of Mommying While Black, podcast hosted by me, LT. I'm from New Orleans. I live in Houston, Texas, and I'm a single mother raising a strong black prince. 4 years old, a complete sunbeam. Wow. God gifted me this idea about 2 to 3 months after I had my son in January of 2017, and it's 2021. Doesn't matter how long it takes you to get there. Doesn't matter the path you have to go. Doesn't matter the obstacles in the way. And that's a story for another episode. Stay focused. Stay on the path. Stay true. Honor the gifts God has given you. Honor the beautiful ideas and thoughts God has placed in you, and just watch it. Watch it flourish. Something in my mind has now manifested itself in physical form. That's dope as fuck, man. I am so excited. I'm so excited. So excited to be here. So excited to be here. So, what is Mommy and Wild Black? Mommy and Wild Black is all about mothering, mommying, doing it while black with strikes against you. You have the strike of gender, we're women. The strike of race, we're black. That melanin drives them nuts. Nuts. Someone once told me, I think it was my cousin Travis, the essence of beauty is the presence of color. Say less. You have to deal with the stigmas and stereotypes of being an angry black woman or woman on welfare, Section 8, or single mother, a mother that runs her husband off, just everything under the sun. And we do it so well. We do it gracefully. I think Shakespeare said, heavy lies the head that wears the crown. And we wear that crown. We rock it. Shoulders up, back, you know, shoulders forward, your back up, your head held high. You sitting straight up. That's what I mean. We do it and we do it well. We wear it well. And shout out to you. Shout out to all the badass, dope ass mommies out there doing it. Whether you are doing it as a single mother, you're doing it married. Make no mistake about it. I am very aware of the fact that even when you marry, sometimes your spouse can feel like a child. Sometimes you can feel trapped in your marriage. Sometimes you can be in a relationship with someone where they are in the same room with you, but you've never felt further away. And sometimes that support system and that spouse is amazing, 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 amazing. You are elevating the mommy game to a whole nother level. Because you got a solid person, a refuge, a place of peace, and that is amazing. Amazing, amazing, amazing. My child is the coolest, dopest four-year-old I've ever met. He's rambunctious, he's loving, he's considerate, he's respectful. He is always smiling, always smiling. I mean, this child, I could wake him up at 4 o'clock in the morning or 9 o'clock in the morning, and he wakes up smiling, jumping, laughing, looks at me, wants to give me a hug, hold my face. and just stare at my face and just, oh, I just love him to death. I love him to pieces. He is the coolest kid ever. And he is the reason why I push myself. No days off. And so, like I said, shout out to all of the badass mommies out there doing your thing. This podcast is for you. This podcast is for you. Take a moment and just like let it sink in. We are here. So Monday, March 8th is International Women's Day. I feel like every day is International Women's Day. Every day you should honor a woman. Every day you should do something nice for your sister, your mother, a stranger. Men, take notes. Take notes. Every day is International Women's Day. And you know, if we're black, it's Black History every single day. So what was Monday? International Women's Day, Black History Day, all of that good stuff. It's just an amazing day, an amazing day, an amazing day, an amazing day. And what are we going to talk about today? Very first episode, I'm going to talk about the interview that Oprah Winfrey did that was on CBS Sunday night with Meghan Markle and Prince Harry. And I really just want to get into that interview. I want to talk about different things that stood out to me, different things that were discussed, those gaps that were left out there that probably all of us are wondering, like we want the tea. We want to know what was going on. As a black woman, we probably already know what's going on because we probably already experienced it or know someone who's experienced it. Maybe not to the same degree that Meghan did. However, we did that. And let me give Meghan Markle her respect. Put some respect on her name. The Duchess. The Duchess and Prince Harry. That being said, this episode or this interview really struck a nerve with me. I'm sure it struck a nerve with you too. It definitely, that nerve that was struck, you know, reverberated across the entire world. The entire world. It's like an earthquake. You know, when an earthquake happens, if you are into geology or anything like that, or look at the National Geological Survey website, you will notice that when an earthquake happens, when those tectonic plates move, you feel that impact here. And of course, in the epicenter, you feel it even more. But the ocean shifts, the world shifts, the world literally shifts. I can only think of a few times in my life where I feel like the world shifted. One, when Tupac died. I don't even think at that age that I realized that the world was shifting. Now as an adult, I can reflect back and look at it and see that. When Barack Obama was elected, when Michael Jackson passed away, I almost want to say that the same thing may have existed for Whitney Houston and Prince. Although I'm a Whitney fan, Prince, I could rock with him here and there. I know when Michael Jackson died, the earth shifted. When Nipsey Hussle died, the earth shifted. When Kobe Bryant passed away, when Gigi passed away, the earth tilted. So that said, I think that this interview did something. I think this interview with Oprah and the Duchess shifted, caused a shift, a ripple effect across the entire world in the middle of a pandemic. The pandemic also, you know, shifted the world too, as well. I'm talking about individuals, people that impacted lives. And so that being said, I think George Floyd dying, that was a shift. I think Mike Brown started a shift, but George Floyd seeing it, those 8 minutes, 46 seconds, that was a shift. You saw people in other countries rising up, dismantling statues, talking about systemic racism, implicit bias, policing while black, driving while black, walking while black, mommying while black, fathering while black, breathing while black, sleeping while black, watching TV in my own home while black. So I think these are times when the world has shifted. And I think this interview is one of those times. So first thing I want to talk about that I want to get into from that interview was Megan said that the Duchess said that she didn't research the family. You know, she knew she was marrying into the royals. She thought she knew everything she needed to know, or her husband would have told her or shared that information with her. And she knew she was stepping into a different world, but didn't understand the magnitude of what that looked like. If you watched that wedding in Buckingham Palace, that's just Meghan's mom. I mean, seeing people showing up to this wedding of color, Serena, Oprah, All of the who's who list was there. And when black people, when we show up, we show up. I mean, not everybody show up like Michelle Obama. She kills it. Kills it. Sis kills it. We show up. And she said that she did not, you know, research the family. She talked about learning how to curtsy and things like that. But that's the first thing I want to talk about. I think that one of the things in our culture that we don't do enough of is talk with our significant others about where they come from, what their upbringing was like, the traumas they may have experienced, how their families are, what belief system were they raised under, not just religion, I mean ideologies. Do you believe that white people are the superior race? Do you, it like, you know, especially if you're talking to somebody from the opposite race, I think that that's a question that's fair. I think that that matters. I think that mixed race babies are beautiful. I also think that those children, depending on the environment that they're in, and at some point in their life, they're going to experience it. It is a difficult thing, I believe, to be a mixed race child and be too dark to fit in with the white people and too light skinned to fit in with black people. And I have some fairer skinned siblings. I mean, I grew up thinking that my grandfather was white. Now, going back doing ancestry and things, my family's from France and I believe somewhere in the Swiss Alps. My aunt, I'll bring her on here on one episode and we'll dig and do a deep dive into that. But it's just it's amazing. It's amazing. And I 1000% think that you have to do your research. In this case, I think a lot of us thought we knew Prince Harry. We know what his upbringing was like. His mother was killed in a way that was televised and publicized everywhere and talked about for months and months and months and years and years and years. There's even a show on Netflix, The Crown, and all of these different dynamics at play there. And you think that you know, and listening to this interview, hearing different terminology thrown out, the firm, the institution. Baffling, 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 baffling. So I think that that's the first thing, you know, we have to do is research, ask those tough questions. I think that in this case, from a mommy and wild black perspective, she wasn't pregnant with Archie then. However, I think that when you are dealing with someone outside of your race, you owe it to yourself to have those conversations. You owe it to the possible future offspring that you may bring into that mix, into the dichotomy of that relationship, to have those types of conversations so that you can be on the same page, so that you can flesh that out, so that you can learn that person, learn that, see things from their perspectives, or even understand their perspective, or agree to disagree. I think that that's all important. I commend Megan, the Duchess. Y'all have to forgive me, the Duchess. For being so transparent and owning and saying that she did not do that. She did not research. I think the idea that she thought that she would know everything she needed to from her husband, the idea that she thought that this family, this institution, the firm would protect her, is a place that I believe Black women, that we never even allow ourselves to feel that vulnerable in. Maybe there are. For me, just to expect someone else to protect me, to expect someone else to have my best interests at heart, and to keep it that way 24/7, 365. I do not believe, even if you're married, I don't believe that that can happen at 100%, or even, you know, close to it with threads of possible, you know, inadvertent malfeasance to exist that way. And the idea that she thought that this family would protect her is a difficult pill for me to swallow. The idea that she felt trapped in there and said she turned over her phone, you turn over your wallet, you turn over your keys, you turn over, I think not her phone. I think she said her wallet, her keys, her passport, you turn all of this over. Over to who? To who? What? And asking to leave. Megan's Black, but I would stand to say that there are some realer ones out there. There are some realer ones out there. I know for certain in New Orleans that ain't gonna stand. You gonna keep me where? I gotta stay where? I gotta do what? Say less. Say less. Me and Prince Harry, look, tell you what, you want to be with me, you got to tell your people, chill out. And if they can't chill out, I got to go. I can't stay here. And so, but I think that also the older you get, the more, I also can see it from the other perspective, right? The older you get, the more life you've experienced, you don't make rash decisions. You don't go with your first reaction. Your first response is usually not, you know, your truest, most authentic version of yourself. And so that being said, I think that especially for mothers like mommy and, you know, being a Black mother, we are raised to keep the family together. We are the glue that keeps the family together. Even when our husbands may have lost their jobs, our significant others, we hold it down. We cook, we clean, we mommy, we show up for our significant others, we show up for family, we're at church, we're at work, we are there for our girlfriends, we are on the front lines out there ensuring that Black people are getting out there voting, we are praying, we are intercessors, we are so much to so many people. And a lot of times, I believe sometimes that even when it may not be the best for us, we are unable to extricate ourselves out of those situations without putting someone else first, without thinking about who may be impacted beyond us, who will feel these ripple effects. And then when we think about those things, we make the decision that we are going to stay. We're going to stay because the effects of leaving, those that will be affected, we believe outweigh our hurt, our pains, our insecurities, our fears, our suicidal thoughts, our postpartum depression, our mental health, our self-worth, our identities. The whole time I listened to the Duchess, I just thought she was lost. She had lost herself. She lost her way. She lost her way. And that's okay because that happens to all of us. I do think that the Black in her, the Black, you have to channel that strong, like blood and Black people flows differently. I believe that we have the strength of our ancestors. We are strong. We are resilient. We are tenacious. We are brilliant. We are beautiful. We are wise. We are strategic. We are also vulnerable. We can be weak. We can be gullible. We can be too trusting. And I think that it took her a minute to muster the strength to vocalize there was an issue. And then when she sought out help, it is a tough thing for a Black woman to say she needs help. I know every Black mother at some point has recognized that you needed help, but we never want to ask for help. We never want to ask for help. I will speak for me. I will speak for me only. And if you have your thoughts about it, definitely share those with me. I'll speak for me. I do not want or like to ask for help. I don't. Even when I pray for years, I would pray for everyone else and not pray for myself. And I thought to myself, how selfish is it of me to go to God and ask for something for me? I should be asking for someone else. I should be standing in the gap for someone else. And so that's what I did. And I don't ask for help. And you know what it comes from for me is having asked individuals for help and them not coming through, not showing up, being considerate and showing up for others and always being there and always offering, always overextending myself. And when I needed help, nobody checked on me. Nobody asked me if I was all right. Even Megan said, the Duchess said that during her interview. She said that in Australia, when she was asked by a reporter if she was all right, she said no. No one ever, I mean, how many times have you ever gotten asked, are you all right? Are you all right? And last year, my sister, I was talking to her. She called me about a dental appointment that had gone bad. And she was just talking. And I think I broke down and I was crying. I was just overwhelmed with work. And I was trying to navigate, trying to meet a metric at my job and trying to do that and work from home and have a child full time at home with me who previously had been in school and the school was year round. And now he's home because we're in a pandemic and I'm trying to cook and I'm trying to clean and I'm trying to wash clothes and you're washing clothes, drying clothes. It's piling up. You're not hanging up anything. You're not folding up anything. It's you're losing your mind. And it's like, if I could just get control of one thing. And my sister lives in Phoenix, Arizona, got up with her two kids, loaded up her car, and drove from Phoenix to Houston, Texas, and was here the next morning. The next morning, like, she already knows what it is. I'm not even gonna go into an emotional spill about that. But like, to ask for help, it's a struggle. It is a real thing. It is a real thing to ask for help. I'm curious. Please share with me. Do you ever ask for help? And when you ask for help, when you've asked for help, do you get that help? And if you've asked for help and you don't get it, how does that make you feel? Who did you ask for the help from? A lot of times, the times when I feel the most alone with no one to help me, it's family and friends that I've treated like family, that I look at like family, that don't offer. So, you know, what can I say? However, I did sympathize with her. Empathize with her. I know what it's like to go and ask for help and not get the help that you need, to not have that. And these will be topics I'll talk about on future episodes when we talk about mental health. But I commend her. I commend her for going to ask, for seeking out help, saying that she never felt like this before. She did something that I myself would have taken longer to do, if I did it at all. And then to go to her husband, and like she said, I'm supposed to be the solution. I'm supposed to be solution oriented for him. He's got the weight of the world on his shoulders. I shouldn't be coming to him with my problems. I'm a fixer. I am a solver. That is what I do. I birth nations. I walk in the earth still. To go to her husband and to say she needed help and feeling in that space with those suicidal thoughts. And I got to give it to Prince Harry. He is a real one. My G said no. I'm going to everybody. Oh, we can't do this. We are out. And to take your family, the weight of what that meant to leave by that by itself. And he never, the interview, it didn't even, do you have any regrets? No, that's the only way that I could save my wife. The only way that I could save Archie's mother. The only way that she could be here right now, carrying our daughter. We had to leave. This whole piece about Archie's skin color, how dark he was going to look. Let's back up. Let's talk about Archie. That boy is handsome. If he is not his father's twin, I always thought Harry was the better looking out of William and Harry. William, ugh. I know Kate, you gotta be in a pity marriage. I mean, like, he is not attractive. Not that Kate's attractive either. But let me digress for one second. I believe that Kate probably was just the meanest sister-in-law ever. She just walks around like pompous in that, you know, I've been here for so long. Like, who does she think she is coming in or whatever? Plus, the Duchess came in with her own fame. I come with my own money. I come from a strong Black mother. I'm different. I'm different. I had that je ne sais quoi about me. And so I feel she probably gave that negative energy to her the whole time. I know Megan said, you know, they were welcoming in the beginning, but I think that with Kate, it was probably fake, feigned, all of that. So that whole segment where she talked about Kate made her cry, I'm not surprised. 1000% believe that's what happened. But let's get back to Archie. He is so stinking cute. He's so handsome. He is so handsome, so handsome. And to talk about this baby before he gets here, that he's not going to have a prince or princess title, because at the time they didn't know what they were having. Not going to have a royal title, no security. What? Like Harry said, like the Duchess said, like Prince Harry said, like the Duchess said, it is Archie's birthright. This baby girl that's going to be born this summer. It is her birthright. She is royalty. She has come from a lineage of that. The idea that I can be born, it's like, you know what's crazy? It's like being born a Rockefeller, being born a Kennedy, and then one day, like, okay, you know, you're not a Kennedy anymore. Or you marry a side that, nope, that child's not a Kennedy. Like, well, like, I'm pretty sure they probably might have those conversations as well, but it is baffling to me. It is toxic on all sorts of levels. It is disgusting. It is disgraceful. It is distasteful. It is not royal-like. It is not becoming. I mean, to have that type of discussion and then to bring it to Prince Harry, to bring it to him. What? You have literally told him before his child is born that you have a problem with this child simply because of her mother. The color of her skin, something she can't control. It just brings me back to Plessy v. Ferguson and just Dred Scott and all of these things. You have a drop of black in you, a drop of black blood, and you're black, and ooh, it's so taboo. Black means, you know, be scared, they're violent, they are loud, they are thieves, they are social deviants. It's appalling. It's appalling. It's disgusting. It is absolutely disgusting. Absolutely disgusting. Now, did this come from the Queen? You know, Her Majesty the Queen. I have no idea. I will say this. That family should be thankful some black blood came in there. Why? Have you seen the way those people age? William looks awful. Queen Elizabeth's husband he looks like Smeagol or Gollum off of Lord of the Rings. What in the fuck is going on with his face? I mean, his eyeballs are literally sinking to the back of his skull. These people, that family, they need some color. They need some melanin. Those people are not attractive. Not attractive. Negative. And to the race is what we're worried about? That's what we're worried about? In a time where race, I mean, not that long ago, George Floyd happened. In a time where race is such a big topic, when companies are showing up and pouring in millions of dollars with good intentions or just to cover their ass, right? Pouring in money and you're wanting to buy black, support more black endeavors. You are over here not securing a legacy for your grandson. The institution, the firm, whoever you are related to Archie, you're not securing the legacy for him. You're not giving him more security. You are not giving more security around the Duchess. And maybe you think they don't need more security because they are in the palace. But when they left, you don't think that you're not. It's like, okay, you know what? You want to leave home? I'm going to let you just go out there and you're on your own. What kind of parent does that? Even if you tell your child, this is my house, either you listen to my rules or you get out. No parent. It's like, I'm not going to show up for you. I'm not going to, even if they're like, look, give me the credit cards back. I'm not paying for it. You got to pay your own car note. You got to pay your own car insurance. When your child says they need help, you will not turn your back on them. You will not turn your back on them. I can't believe it. And that is where, you know, Mother of Dragons, if you will, sparked up in Meghan and, you know, upset at the obscene conversations that they're having about her child that's not even born. And here it is. She's continuing to think these people are protecting her. Maybe she even had some thoughts in her mind about whether or not her husband, you know, misinterpreted, misunderstood, you know, what, or thinking that, you know what, let me fall back.
and let him handle it. Trust that he will handle it. And ultimately, Prince Harry did. He did handle it. But the cost of that. Forget being stripped of everything in terms of representing, you know, their royal duties. Their children are now being denied the full inheritance of their lineage because of a decision they made, a decision to escape, to get out, to free themselves. Man, that is insane to me. To know that 70% of the Commonwealth are people of color. To listen to Meghan say that it was almost unsurvivable. That just because she was breathing. And the part that really tugged at my heartstrings. Not just the way that the media portrays Meghan one way and differently for Kate. I think that's never going to go away. I mean, we can talk about ads. Maybe that'll be a future podcast episode of companies that put out an ad and show a white woman and children and a man and selling you something, and it's a nuclear family. Everyone's there. And then you see a black mother and a child, no father present. No father present. Why? So I'm not surprised that Meghan got treated differently than Kate. Not surprised at all. However, to listen to Meghan say, the Duchess say, there's a lot that has been lost already. She lost her father. She lost a baby. A baby. A baby. Miscarriage. Stress. Stress. To lose your child. To lose your child. I birthed my child. And the idea of losing him, I don't know what I would do. I don't know how I would go on. I am nothing without Bam. I am nothing without my little Bambino. Life before him was boring and whack and just all of those things. If I would have known that my child would be cooler than the other side of the pillow, I'd have had him a long time ago. A long time ago. And believe it or not, when I met my child's father, I did not want to get married, did not want to have children. It was one of our first heated discussions. I was like, no, for what? Why? Man, children are a blessing. And to have lost her child, my heart aches for her. To be losing herself, to be feeling herself slipping, losing a grip on reality. And maybe not even losing it, like releasing. Sometimes we do more damage holding on to something. We're digging our nails into our skin. Our hands are red. We're holding on so tight. Sometimes the best thing you can do is let go. So maybe she wasn't losing her grip on reality as opposed to letting go. And she lost her name, her just everything, everything. And that, the fact that she almost lost her life, that really pulled on my heartstrings. And so I am just... Black women, we are resilient. We are resilient. I will say it over and over again. We are a force to be reckoned with. You will feel us. You will acknowledge us. We also hurt. We also bleed. We also need help. I didn't realize that I should check on my friends, my sisters, that when they have babies. Because I thought it was just easy. It was, you know, I helped my mama raise my siblings. I thought it was like, oh, this is nothing. Until I had my own. And I helped my mama raise my siblings and I struggled. That first month, I think I cried every day. At the end of that first month when my son was born, I was like, okay, I didn't kill you. Whew, you didn't kill me. Whew, thank God we got through it. I did not see how I would get through a week let alone a month. It began where I started talking to myself if I could just make it through one day, 24 hours, 24 hours. And so if nothing else, I want to just say that I appreciated this interview. I appreciated the Duchess' transparency. I appreciated Prince Harry sharing their family with us, having that conversation about that. I thank Oprah for conducting the interview. And I want to just, International Women's Day, love on women, respect Black women, protect Black women, believe Black women. We are royalty. So here we are at the end of episode one. Thank you so much for rocking with me. Thank you for listening. I want to end on this note. Shout out to you. Shout out to you, Black mommies. Those that mommy while being Black. Shout out to you for being amazing. Shout out to my mom, my sisters, my cousins, my sister-in-laws, my aunts, my grandmothers, my friends that mommy 24/7, man, 24/7, 365. Shout out to all of you. And shout out to the listeners and the viewers. Thank you so much for tuning in. I super appreciate it. I know you can hear my child in the background because it is time to be off. And so I am not going to cut it. I'm not going to edit it because this is what mommy and 24/7, 365 looks like. There's no, you know, true quiet time. So that being said, we get it in where we can. And so again, thank you to all of you, and hug yourselves tightly today. Give yourselves a pat on the back because you are the bomb. You are amazing. You are seen. You are loved. The world is not going to be the same without you here. So if you need help, 1000% speak up and say you need help. If you are feeling suicidal, definitely seek help with that. Reach out to family members. Reach out to individuals in your church. Contact your counselors. If you have counselors, contact. Use your resources that you have at work. You can utilize your medical benefits and go and see someone. So I 1000% recommend doing that. And if you're feeling suicidal, you can always call the National Suicide Prevention Lifeline at 800-273-8255. Someone is always there 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. So definitely, if you're feeling like you may harm yourself or harm someone else, if you feel like you're losing control, definitely reach out, reach out, reach out, reach out. Feel free to send emails to me. Let me know what you think about this podcast. My email address is momgoals with an S at mommyingwhileblack.com. You can follow me on social media at mommyingwhileblk on Instagram. So BLK for Black. And I just look forward to hearing back from you, all of your feedback. We talked so much last year about self-care, taking care of yourself, loving on yourself, being the best version of yourself and living life authentically. And I think that being the best version of yourself is saying that you need help. You need help to be the best version of yourself. So if that's someone giving you a break for 30 minutes so you can go get a massage or go jogging, say you need help, sis. Say you need help. So I'm challenging myself this year. I am going to say I need help. I'm going to ask for help. And that's going to be tough for me because I don't like to say I need help. I'm not the oldest of all of my siblings, but I am treated like the oldest, even by my oldest siblings. So it's tough for me to say I need help, but I am going to challenge myself to do that, and I challenge you to do the same. And 1000%, if you are someone like me who has not been praying for yourself, start praying for yourself too. Self-care. So I want to leave on a positive note. I want to leave with affirmations. I am amazing. I am worthy. I belong here. God saw something in me, and that is why he gifted me these children. That is why he gifted me this child. I can do this. I was built for this. My ancestors did this. Everything that I need is within me. The answers are in front of me. There is no one who can raise these children or this child like me. There is no one who can replace me. There is no one on this earth that will love my children and my child the way that I do. I am resilient. I am tenacious. I am brilliant. I am beautiful. I am loving. I cry. I hurt. I can be scared, and that is okay. Being vulnerable is not a weakness. This is for me. Loving me is important. It is important for me to be the best version of myself so that I can be the best mommy ever. So shout out to you. Shout out to you, Black moms. Join me again next week on Monday. We will be here. I will also be on social media live, and thanks for tuning in. Say bye.
Bye.
Bye.